unto us, Lord. We thank you for the word that you exalt above your very name, the word that has saved us, the word that changed us, the living word that comes into our hearts. Lord, we thank you this morning as we lift up those that we love. We just pray again, Father, for James Stack and for Dan Baker, Lord, and for Billy Smith and all the people who've had so many surgeries this week, Lord. Just being with them and Kathleen's mother, all the people that we're lifting up each and every day in prayer. And Lord, we thank you for all that are present. May every ear be open to hear your truth this morning. And may no one who doesn't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords leave this place without making Jesus the Lord of their life. And we praise you. We give you honor. May all that we do bring glory to our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray and we all say, amen. Amen. Let's turn to John's Gospel. We're in chapter 4 this morning. And we left off with a great story of Nicodemus there, that face-to-face meeting that he had with the Lord. Remember, he came in the nighttime. And then after that, in chapter 3, which we're not going to cover all the verses, but in chapter 3, beginning in verse 22 and following, we have the last testimony, if you will, of John the Baptist. And he is literally the last of the Old Testament prophets who bring us right into the New Testament. And then if you'll notice there in verse 26, there's kind of a jealousy that's arising in chapter 3. And it's over. John's followers are upset because now so many are starting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what it was all about, amen? John was the forerunner to lead everyone to the Lord. And so John tells them, he says, listen, I am not the Christ. He must increase and I must decrease. And so John is telling his disciples, he said, listen, my ministry now is coming to an end. And we do know, although it's not specifically told when, but we do know that John's ministry was over. He was going to be arrested and put in prison. Remember, they're under Herod. His head's going to end up on a silver platter. But we left off with that nighttime meeting, if you will, with Nicodemus, that one-on-one conversation. What's wonderful about John's gospel, remember that 92% of it is unique to all the other gospels. And there are 8 face-to-face private meetings listed in John with our Lord Jesus Christ and other people. They're just a one-on-one. And so another thing that we need to look at about the importance of the woman at the well, which we're going to cover this morning, did you know that this is Jesus's longest one-on-one chat with any individual recorded in Scripture? Isn't that amazing? And she is a Samaritan woman. And not only that, this woman at the well that we're going to look at this morning is only in the Gospel of John. So this morning, I want to speak to you from the title, Sir, Give Me This Water, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, meaning all the crowds now were coming to the Lord. Though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea, departed again to Galilee. Now that word left, we say, well, I'm see you later, I'm leaving, or I left. That doesn't mean much to us in English, but if you look at that word in the Greek, it is a very, very strong word. Jesus did more than say, okay, I'm leaving Judea, I'm leaving Jerusalem. What Jesus is literally saying is, I'm leaving now you to yourself. I'm leaving you to your own way. In other words, I am breaking with you. Now Jesus' ministry is going to be primarily in the Galilee. And look at verse 4. It says, but he needed to go through Samaria. I prefer the King James on this, where Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. So he left Judea, and now he absolutely has to. It is a divine necessity. He has to go where Jews don't go, and that is the land of Samaria. That tells us something. It is a divine plan. He's about his Father's business. Amen? The Bible tells us in Luke 19:10, it says that Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. That's what Jesus is doing right here. He is seeking the woman at the well. And let me say something. The woman at the well isn't seeking Jesus. Amen? Very important that we see that. I promise you, in her wildest dreams, as she's carrying her water pot from Sychar all the way to that well a half a mile away, I promise you she wasn't saying, I am going to have a one-on-one, face-to-face meeting today with the Son of the living God. Amen? No, she didn't say that at all. And look at verse 5. And so he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied, he's worn out, he's tired from his journey, look what he did. He sat right there on the edge of that well, and it was about the sixth hour, meaning it was the noon hour. You know, if you go to Israel today, into the land over the Holy Land, you know, the well that is still there. And matter of fact, in 1667, they actually measured, because the well was so deep, and they measured it, it was like 105 feet deep or whatever, 7.5 feet in diameter. And so here Jesus is coming, it's noon, it's hot, but he's waiting for someone, he is waiting for a woman. And listen, this is not chance, amen? Everything God does is perfect. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe it was a coincidence. No, I believe in God. Amen? And you know what? There was a time in your life when Jesus, he was waiting for you and waiting for you, and he said, you know what? I must needs go to Dallas, or, well, maybe not Dallas, but you know what I mean. I'm joking. You understand what I mean. And he was waiting on you, and you came to him. Amen? Because he was seeking you. He loves you. And look at verse 7. And a woman of Samaria, it says, she came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. I want you to look at this dear woman. She had walked this path from Sychar to the well. Again, it's about a half a mile. She had walked this probably hundreds and hundreds of times in her lifetime. She came only for one reason. She came because she needed to draw water, and it was at the noon hour. That tells us a great deal right there. It tells us that she was an outcast, even in her own city, because all the women of the city at that time, when they came to get water, for example, to draw water, they came early in the morning. And the reason they did that, it was in the cool of the day, but that way all the women could get together and they could have their conversation, talk about the day, talk about the week, whatever. It was a place of fellowship. And today, here comes this woman, and she is all alone, and her life is going to be changed forever and ever. Now, listen carefully. Do not let we know the water of the woman at the well so well, no pun intended, okay? We know it so well that sometimes we think we don't, that it's too familiar, Bill. Don't let that happen this morning, amen? Don't ever let the Word of God be like that to our hearts. No, and I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, God, the Son of God, I have never, ever, ever, ever in my over 40 years of walking with the Lord, I have never had the Lord ask me for a favor. Have you? He says, give me a drink. It was a very polite gesture. He said, I need water. Would you give me drink? Doesn't that blow you away? The source of all life, the creator of everything, the sustainer of everything that exists, the creator. He was the rock. Remember the rock that was traveling in the wilderness and gave water to the children of Israel? That spiritual rock, Paul says, which was Christ. I mean, the creator of the Nile, the creator of Niagara Falls. He says, I need some water. I need a drink. That blows me away. And he says, listen, I need water right now. And the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Now listen carefully. Do you think that this woman was in shock? Come on, there's a Jew in Samaria. Jews don't go to Samaria. Are you listening to me? No, listen, and there is a Jew, and he is sitting right there on the edge of the well. It is a noon hour. She's been coming for years, probably, at noon to draw water, and there's never been anyone there, most likely. And here is a man, and he's all alone, and he is Jewish, and she knew that Jews did everything within their power. Matter of fact, they avoided going through Samaria completely. If they even touched Samaria, they say, I am unclean. I have to go have ceremonial washings and all. I'm contaminated and everything. They considered the Samaritans a horrible, wicked, unclean people. In other words, they would bypass Samaria no matter how great the distance. It's kind of like, you know, if you come into the promised land here in Fort Worth, you bypass Dallas every time, don't you? And you know what I mean? And so anyway, so a Jew couldn't drink from a Samaritan. If he did so, the utensil, just the touching of it, and certainly the drinking of it, would render him completely unclean. Matter of fact, the rabbis at that time, they were so strict. Not only would they talk to a woman, they wouldn't even, if they saw a woman, doesn't matter if you're Jew or whoever she was, they wouldn't even look upon a woman. If you study out the history of the Pharisees, you know, there was a group, and they were called the bruised and the bleeding Pharisees. In other words, they would cover their eyes if a woman was coming, and they would run into walls, fall into the streets and whatnot, but they wouldn't look upon a woman. That's why they were bruised. That's why they were bleeding, okay? Now, the Samaritans, let's look just a little quick history lesson. Remember that the Samaritans were part Jew and part Assyrian or whatever other nation that they intermarried with. The 10 tribes in 2 Kings chapter 17, they're taken off into captivity by the Assyrians. So the Jews that are taken there, they intermingle with foreign people, they marry foreign people, and now they're part Jew and part whatever, and the Jews have absolutely nothing to do with them. Matter of fact, they even created their own Mount Gerizim. They had their own temple, their own style of worship, which was totally a foul, if you will, against God's word. Now, and Jesus answered her and said this, if you knew the gift of God, I believe that, of course, we're talking about eternal life. Yes, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. But when it says the gift of God, and this word gift is unique here in the New Testament, it goes all the way back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he what? He gave. It goes when Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 9:15, he called Jesus, he said, God's indescribable gift. Jesus is the gift, amen? He's the gift of the world. God gave him our Lord. Now listen, he says, if you knew to this woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, well, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. In other words, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask much more than the water that comes from this well. You know, and Jesus said, I'm telling you now, what he's saying is how you can be changed and how you can be saved and so forth. He says, listen, he says, all you have to do is ask me of that living water and receive it as a gift from God. Amen. You know, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so here he's talking to her, and the woman said, watch this. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. So where then did you get that living water? You know something? I believe sometimes we are just like this woman. In other words, we go through the Word of God or we hear the Word of God preached, and all of a sudden we see that God gives us a promise from his Word, and you know what we say? We say, oh God, you know, well, you know, you don't have a water bucket. I mean, you know, you're wanting a drink, you don't have a rope, you can't let the water bucket down. Where is this living water? Where are you going to help me at? Where are you going to take care of the circumstances that I have in my life? Are you really greater than my need and greater than my circumstances? And that's why she said, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Now, Jacob was not the father of the Samaritans. Amen? Jesus should have said, or could have said, I should say, he says, oh yeah, I know who Jacob is. I wrestled him back in a few hundred years ago. Amen? Yeah, not only that, I had to give him a new name. Now, he says, and Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, this H2O, Jacob's well, this worldly water, whoever drinks of this water will never be satisfied. You will thirst again. I'll tell you something about the wells of the world. We have all drank from them, haven't we? And boy, are they deep. They're so deep that if you don't know Christ, you know what happens in your life? You end up drinking from well after well after well that the world produces, and it never satisfies our thirst. It'll never, ever help us. It'll never leave us satisfied, but it'll try to keep us until we die if we just drink from the water of this world. Remember, God comes to, the prophet Jeremiah comes to the people of God, and they've turned away from the Lord. And Jeremiah, he cries out to them, and he says in Jeremiah 2:13, he says, "For my people have committed two evils." Number one, we know what they forsook the Lord, and they replaced God with idols, okay? He says, my people, they've done that. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, plural, living waters. And they have built for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Can you imagine a generation of believers, God's covenant people, turning their back on the living God? Think about that. The God who is a God of all comfort, the God who is of all mercy and all goodness and all relief, the God who is, he is sufficient within himself. He needs absolutely nothing. Man, I never want to be like that. Amen? To be so deceived that I think that I can go out and build myself a well and say, you know what, that's going to satisfy me now. No. It says, no, it won't hold any water, meaning it'll never hold anything that will give us life in this life. And you know something? We have to remember about our generation that we're living in right now. You know, the church, the world, we're either going to drink out of the right watering hole or the wrong one. Amen? And I'll tell you, every year, every day, it's like the world creates a brand new watering hole for everyone to go drink out of. And they're man-made, and they say, if you have this, it will refresh you. It'll change your life. And they always tell you, this cistern, this well, if you'll drink out of it, it tells you, you know what, Jesus is not sufficient. He's not what you really need. And so you end up dying of thirst. Look at verse 14. So Jesus says to her, whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him will what? Never thirst. You believe that? Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him. Say that with me. In him. Boy, that needs to be underlined. Will become in him a fountain of water springing up, or literally leaping up or bubbling up within, into everlasting life, eternal life. Now listen, a spring is a source of living water, isn't it? It's always coming, it's always flowing, it's complete. Jesus said you'll never ever thirst, meaning you'll be completely and permanently satisfied. What did David cry out in Psalm 23? He says, the Lord, he said, is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He always gives us everything that we need. And Jesus said, in him, this fountain within. You know, listen, we truly, when we're born again, we have within ourselves the source of everlasting satisfaction. Amen? Everlasting satisfaction. The fountain of living waters. When we get over to chapter 7 of John, remember that Jesus cried out on that day of the feast, and he said this. He said, listen, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, plural, rivers of living water. But this he spake concerning the Spirit. Now, meaning the Holy Spirit. So listen, we have a living well inside of us right now. Amen? It's like one of the great expositors of old in the 1800s said this, if you have Christ in your vessel, you can smile at the storm. Amen? That's a good word. But listen, it says if you're thirsty. And he said to the woman, she said to him rather, sir, give me this water. Let's say that together. Sir, give me this water. And here's the reason. She says, I want the water that you just spoke of, that I may not thirst. And then she gave another reason. I don't want to ever come to this well again. I don't want to ever come here because I know that I'm hated in this town. I know that nobody wants me. He says, I don't want to ever come here to draw water again. It's like she's saying, would you put a water faucet in my house? That was her thinking, okay? And sir, give me this water. But listen now, this is deeper than I just don't want to come to the well anymore. What she's really saying, and Jesus knows it, it is a cry from her heart. She's saying, you know what? Internally, how we've all been in our lives, she's saying, you know what? I really am thirsty. I really am hurting. I really am disappointed with my life. My life has not turned out at all the way I thought it was going to turn out. I know that I'm unwanted by so many. I know that I'm literally unloved, and I know that my life has been filled with man after man after man after man who used me, who abused me, but really never wanted me. I know that I am literally burned. I'm a burned out woman, and there's really nothing left of me but just ashes. That's why Jesus said what he's going to say in the very next verse. He's going to say to her, woman, it's time now to come clean. Watch what he does. And Jesus said to her, well, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, hey, I don't have a husband. She's telling Jesus the truth. Amen. He says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you know what? You have well said that you have no husband. You see, you can't hide from the Lord. Did you know that? He knows absolutely everything about us. So what does Jesus do? He just goes right to the root of her problem. He knew how many husbands she had had. He knows everything. See, there can't be conversion without conviction. Amen? So he knows exactly what he's doing. So simple, just a conversation. And he goes, hey, you've had five husbands. In other words, five failed marriages. Maybe they died. Maybe she killed them. I don't know. I'm just saying. No. But she's had five failed marriages. You know what? And the one that you're now with is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. In other words, she's living with an old boy. Amen? Like you hear the comment today, oh, honey, you know, I love you so much. I mean, I love you. I just want to live with you and be with you. But I don't want to marry you because I'm not going to be committed to you. That's what the world says today. You know that? So Jesus says, listen to me now. You're living in sin. We don't know this woman's name. He said, you're living in sin. You've had five marriages. You've had five divorces. And this man that you're living with right this moment is not your husband. You're so broken in your life that you've actually given up on men. You've given up on marriage, and you just say, you know what? It's better just to live together. And I want to say something here about this. Jesus is not bashing this woman. Do you know that? Boy, he is so tender in the words that he is saying to her, because he's going to the very root of her pain. That's what the Lord always does. You know, we live in a culture today that says, you know what? If you can find Mr. Right, or if you can find Miss Right, you're going to be happy. That's not true. You know why? Because there's only one person that can truly satisfy you in this life, and that's Jesus Christ. There's not any. You understand? See, you can go through everything that life has to offer, and you can fall in love time after time if you will. But the truth is, you will never, ever be satisfied until you come to the Lord. Only Jesus can satisfy a person's heart. And so she said to him, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Well, yeah. I mean, somebody came and said that to me. Well, hello. No, yeah. In other words, she's kind of uncomfortable now. So look what she does. Like any typical, if you ever talk to someone about, hey, you need Christ, and point out what's wrong, and the first thing you do is change the subject, isn't it? Look what she does. Well, our fathers worshipped on this mountain here. That's Mount Gerizim, there in a Samaria area. Mount Ebal was right across from it, remember? And you Jews, now you say Jerusalem is the place where one ought, or literally where one must worship. Now listen, the Samaritan woman, buddy, she's getting very serious right here. You know what she's saying? Listen, all of my descendants all the way back to Jacob, and Jacob had nothing to do with it, okay? All of my descendants, we've been worshiping right here on this mountain. Our temple is right here. We offer sacrifices right up there, you know? She said, listen, all of them, that's where we worship. And you know, the Samaritans, man, they made up so many different stories about that mountain where they worshiped. In other words, some of them said, you know, this mountain is the very location of the Garden of Eden. Matter of fact, the dust upon that mountain, that's the dust that God made Adam with. Matter of fact, Noah's ark even came to rest upon that mountain. I mean, this is true. They really made Abraham offered Isaac the sacrifice, you know, up on that mountain. And so she's going, now listen, here I am, I'm standing. This is Jacob's well, and you're telling me that where am I supposed to worship at? Where's the right church? What's the right temple? Where is the right place to worship? And Jesus said to this woman, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship or neither on this mountain, meaning her mountain, the Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. Jesus knew that the temple was going to be destroyed in AD 70, okay? He says, listen, he says, your worship, you worship what you don't know. In other words, the Samaritans, they only believed in the first five books of Moses or the Bible. They didn't believe the prophets or any of that. Then they perverted what they did know. He says, you don't know what you're doing. He says, listen, he said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, meaning the Messiah, the one that's coming, is going to come from the Jewish race. But the hour is coming, meaning his death and resurrection. The hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In other words, with the right heart, the right kind of heart, not drawing attention to yourself. Amen? No, where you worship God in truth. And how do you worship God in truth? You worship God according to his word. You cannot separate the worship of God and the word of God. Did you know that? You can't do that. You can only worship God his way, in spirit and truth, with a heart that's saying, okay, Lord, my heart is open before you. And he says, for the Father is seeking such to worship him, for God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now listen, that right there is a whole nother sermon in itself, okay? But what happens here? This incredible revelation wasn't delivered to the Jewish people. It was delivered to a Samaritan woman. It was delivered to a woman who was immoral, a woman who is an outcast in her own city, who's been married five times, divorced, and now she's living with someone. He gave her this incredible revelation. What did Jesus just say? Jesus said, listen, I'm moving worship now. You're not going to worship in Jerusalem. You're not going to worship up there on your mountain. Jesus moved worship from a place to a person. Amen? That's what he did. Jesus said, you know, it is not where you worship, it is how you worship and whom you worship. And the woman said to him, well, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. Now watch what she says. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, Jesus is going to say to her what the Jews wanted to kill him over this saying here. He said, I speak to you, am he. Do you know that Jesus used the exact same phrase when God revealed himself to Moses? He said, God said, I am that I am that I am. Jesus just said, I am God. I am the Messiah. I am the gift that has come into this world. Man, listen, he said, you don't have to wait for some future event. You don't have to wait for the Messiah to come. He is standing in front of you right now. I am not only your personal Savior, I am your ever-present Savior. Amen? And you know what she did? She believed. Watch this now. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. And yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? Because see, according to Jews, the rabbis, you weren't even supposed to talk to a woman. Matter of fact, they said you weren't even supposed to talk to your daughter or your wife in public, okay? Now, watch what happens. The woman then left her water pot. You see, she had living water, amen? And he went her way into the city, and look what she said. She said to the women, no, she said to the men. She said to the men, I mean, I wonder if all of her exes were there. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, that's where whatever his face, George Strait got his song. All my exes live in Sychar. You understand? That's where it is. Maybe her boyfriend was there too. She lined them all up and said, and look what she said. Come see a man. Come see a real man. Because I know all about men. I've been with many men. But I want you to come and see a real man. And look what he did. Who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And you know, some of the men probably were smart alecks. It's not recorded. I'm not trying to add to Scripture. But they might have said, honey, we already know all about you. We don't need anyone to tell us about you. I don't know that that happened. But it could. I feel certain, when I read this great story, that in her heart, she said to herself, can I really trust one more man? You know, when people have been, whether it's a wife, you know, wife, women can be just as mean as men. Amen? Yes, come on. She said, listen, I'm going to trust him. He knows everything about me. Everything about me. He looked right through me. He knows my needs. He knows everything that I've gone through in my life, the good, the bad, the ugly. And this is what was so wonderful. He didn't reject me. He didn't abuse me. He did not hurt me. He did not manipulate me. He did none of those things. He told me everything that I had ever done. My marriages, my fornication maybe, my adulteries, the hurt, the people that forced themselves upon me, all the horrible words that had been said about me. He told me everything. And here's what he never did. Jesus never condemned me. He never put me down. He just gave me living water. Amen. And she said, come see a man. And they went out of the city, the men, all the people, they came out of the city of Sychar there, and they came to him. Now look what happened. Immediately, she did something. Immediately, she became what? An evangelist. Did you catch that? Yeah, did you know she's the first female evangelist in the New Testament? Man, listen, although we don't call her that, but that's what she's doing. She's already a soul winner, amen? That's exactly what she's doing. Listen, when a person comes to Christ, are they changed? Listen, do you remember? Have you forgotten? I mean, the moment that you were born again, listen, you wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, amen? She didn't know anything about God's word. They had perverted the first five books of Moses. She didn't understand what living water was. Jesus was speaking to her on her level. He said, oh, you're at a well. I know you want water, but I can give you what you don't have. It was so incredibly simple. You know, when you come to the Lord, you want to tell everybody about him. You see, because you're changed. I'll never forget. You know, I came to the Lord. I was led to the Lord on the beach in Jacksonville, Florida. I didn't know beans about God's word. Do you hear me? I never owned a Bible in my life. I didn't know there were 66 books. Matter of fact, I even believed at that time that every church basically was the same. I had no idea that there was so much division in the body of Christ and in all of that. I had no idea what justification meant or sanctification, or I didn't even know what the Holy Spirit, who he was. I had no clue. I mean, I'm sitting there with a beer in my hand, man, on the beach watching the sun come up. I'm, you know, in this That hip, man, you look like you're looking for the truth. I was. That's exactly what I was doing. He said, give me your hand and pray with me. And I did. And then I was born again. Now listen very carefully. Here I am. I am just a few hours in the Lord. I didn't know anything except I knew something happened to me. I'm on my way to, I don't know where I was on my way to, someplace, some state. And I'm in my truck and I'm driving and there was a case of beer, you know, in my cooler in my car. You know how when you have a lot of ice and it kind of waters down and the beer cans are sloshing? This, I love you guys, you know. This side, they don't want to admit it, but you know what I'm saying. So there's a soldier on the road hitchhiking. Well, I was a soldier too. So I pulled up, hey, come on and get in. He and I'm driving, you know, and that beer sloshing back and forth. I said, listen, you're not going to believe, man, what happened to me just an hour ago. He says, what was that? And I said, I was on the beach. I said, a guy grabbed my hand. He said, let's pray together. And I prayed with him, and I am changed. Jesus Christ is real. And he and that beer is sloshing around in my floorboard. Do you understand? He says, can you let me out at the next? That's the truth. I let him out at the next road. But you see, what are you saying? I said, I was excited. Are you still excited? He says, and in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, he says, eat. And he said, oh, listen, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said one to another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Not just to know God's will, but to do God's will. Amen? Now listen to what he did. He's going to say, he's going to have a contrast here. He's going to have a contrast with a spiritual harvest and one with a natural harvest. That's why he says, do not say. There still are 4 months and then comes a harvest. In other words, everything was probably green there on the mountains and the harvest is not yet. He says, because I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white to harvest. Listen, Jesus said, we don't need 4 months to work. We don't need 4 months of preparing the soil. There's no need to plow. There's no need to even sow. He says, listen, lift up your eyes. Do you see them coming? See, all the people of Samaria, were they coming to him? They were. The woman had already done the work. Here they come. They're coming. He says, lift up your eyes. He said, listen. He said, they're ready right now to reap. Amen? And then he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, and both he who sows and one who reaps, that he may rejoice together. For this is the true saying, one sows, another reaps, and I sent you to reap for that which you've not labored, and others have labored, and you've entered into their labors. And watch this, here comes the harvest. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. And listen, why did they believe in him? Watch this. Because of the word of the who? The woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. Listen to me. That's it. That was her testimony. That was how she was. That was it. She didn't have anything else. She hadn't been saved 24 hours, and all she said, her whole testimony was this. Come see a man. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did in my entire life. Is this the Christ? That was it. That was totally it. You know what I told that soldier that was in the car, in my truck, rather? I said, listen to me. Something happened to me back there. All I know is this. If you will take my hand, because that's what I did with that guy. He said, he took my hand. Said, now pray with me. I said, if you'll take my hand, I thought that's the only way you could do it. I didn't know. If you take my hand and let's pray, Jesus will come into your heart. You know, that's when he said, can I get out the next block? But that's all I knew. See, this is all the woman had, just that one verse of scripture that we just read. And so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him and said, oh, stay, please stay. And he stayed there 2 days and watch what happened. And many more believed because now, not of her word, but whose word? His own word. And then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because what you said, but we find we ourselves have heard him. We know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Do you know that that title that I just read was given there in Samaria? It's only listed one other place in Scripture, 1 John 4:14, I believe. And so here he says, you know, listen, Samaria gives Jesus his full title. And here's what I've always found, that Jesus, when Jesus comes to the person, I tell you what, they want that living water. They're always changed, amen? They're never left in the same condition. The woman at the well is now a totally different woman, amen? Totally different. She has that living water. She said, sir, give me this water. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55:1, it says, ho, everyone, that's a universal invitation. It says, ho, everyone who thirst, come to the waters. It says, if you don't have any money, he says, well, just come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk and without money and without price. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you say, Bill, you know what? I am so empty. I don't even know the Lord, or I'm so spiritually dry, or you know what? It's just I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know what God's word said? He says, why do you spend money for what is not bread? Oh, we go out and we try everything, don't we? The lost, everybody. I mean, if I can have that, if I can get this, if this will satisfy me, if this will help me, this one or this. No. God says, why do you spend money for what's not bread? Your wages, you spend all your wages, but it doesn't satisfy. Now, listen to what God says. Listen carefully. You listen carefully now. Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and listen to these words. Come to me. He said, come to me and hear, and your soul shall live. God says, I love the Lord. God's word said, listen carefully to me. Let the ear hear what the word of God is saying. He says, you come to me. I want you to come to my table. He says, if you will, you're going to eat what is good. And more than that, you're going to have an abundance of what is good. Remember that last day of the feast again when Jesus cried out? He said, oh, listen. He says, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Do you know there's only one condition? You have to be thirsty. And I know that if you are not born again, I'll tell you something. You are thirsty because you're drinking of the world. And the world will never quench our thirst. Amen? It'll never quench our thirst. Jesus just simply said, you know what? All you have to do is come to me. That woman just said one thing. She said, sir, give me this water. Maybe you need to say the same thing this morning. Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. I know not the heart of anyone, but you know the heart of everyone, Father. I pray for those that are present right now. I pray for believer and unbeliever. Lord God, if they're thirsty, all they have to do is come. And you that are here, if you don't know the Lord, maybe everyone in the first service is saved, I don't know. But if you don't know the Lord, if you're far from the Lord, if you're finding that in your life all you're doing is drinking from the water of the world that will never satisfy you, then all, listen to me. Like the Lord just said, listen carefully to me. Here's the words. Come to me. If that's you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if that's you, would you simply this morning just lift up your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, yes, I see that hand. That's right. I need that living water this morning. I need that so desperately. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me before I close. That one hand or two hands, what I can see. I want those who lifted their hands, listen carefully. Pray with me right now. Christians, help me pray now, church. Say, Father, today, you said, listen carefully. Listen. You asked me to do something. You asked me to come to you, the fountain of living water. I'm thirsty. I'm also empty. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Sir, give me this living water, that I may never thirst again. Fill me right now. Save me. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And we all say, amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.